תפילת החברים. בורא, תודה על ההזדמנות לבנות כלי.
Prayer of the friends. Creator, thank you for the opportunity to build a spiritual vessel, which is our shared heart filled with love. Thank you for the opportunity to study the wisdom of Kabbalah, to rise to the level of Adam and not to remain a beast. We thank you for the privilege you gave us to work on the connection between us in the tens and in the entire world kli. Make it so that our mouths and our hearts will always be equal, and that we see the greatness of our friends and not their flaws. We want to feel you like being in the safety of our mother's hands. Give us the ability to hold on to each other, to grow the force of love and bestowal between us, until you say, my sons have defeated me. And that in this way we will fulfill the thought of creation and give you.
Hello, we are studying a Rabash article. The article is, what is the prayer for help and for forgiveness in the work? The article can be found in the Arvut system as well as in the writings of Rabash. You can also find it on Sviva Tova. The article, what is the prayer for help and for forgiveness in the work?
Well, is seemingly the most important thing, because we're talking about prayer, we're talking about help, and that this help will include the forgiveness, in that we don't succeed and we don't apologize, we don't even know what for. But we ask for forgiveness and progress in the work. Prayer. It's the main and only unique thing that can help us in attaining the purpose of life. Please, that we turn to the Creator. Who is the one unique and unified force? There's none else besides him, and only he orchestrates our past, present, and future. Let's hope we manage to properly contact him, and then he'll. In full. Please.
What is the prayer for help and for forgiveness in the work? Our sages said, man's inclination overcomes him every day and seeks to put him to death. Were it not for the help of the Creator, he would not overcome it. This means that when the Creator helps him, he can overcome it. Hence, the question is, why should a person ask the Creator for forgiveness for the sin? Since our sages said that a person himself cannot overcome it unless with the help of the Creator. It follows that if a person sins, it is not his fault. For what could he do if the Creator did not help him? To understand this, we need to understand what the root of sin is. Meaning, what are the reasons that causes all the sins? Although the answer is simple and known to all, that the reason for all the sins is the evil inclination, we should know the source and the root of the evil inclination which incites the creatures to sin. In other words, why does he want the creatures to sin in the world? We should also understand what is the good inclination, which wants specifically that the creatures will engage in Torah and mitzvot. As we learned, the purpose of creation, which is to do good to his creations, for this reason, the Creator created creatures that want to receive delight and pleasure, meaning to have a desire and craving for pleasures. Or they feel that they have no point in living. They must receive pleasure, or they feel torments. That will to receive imprinted in the creatures is the root of the evil inclination, which incites the creatures to sin. However, we need to understand, if the Creator created this will to receive in the creatures, and it is the reason why the creatures are called creatures, which is as it is written that the creatures are called existence from absence, which is something new that did not exist before he created it, then why is it the root of the evil inclination? The answer to this is presented in the study of the Ten Sefirot, since every branch wants to resemble its root. Had this will to receive remained in its form, which is in order to receive, that desire which is opposite from the Creator would feel unpleasantness upon reception of the pleasures. For this reason, there was a correction on this called tzimtzum, or restriction. This means that it will not receive the light in this vessel called receiving for oneself, but will receive the abundance specifically when it has the intention to bestow. This means that all that a person wants to receive for himself became forbidden because any desire in the upper one becomes a binding law in the lower one. Meaning that the lower one makes a prohibition if he receives for himself and not with the aim to bestow contentment upon his maker. It follows that all the sins extend from a person wanting to receive for his own sake. As it is written, I have created the evil inclination, I have created the Torah as a spice. It follows that the Torah and mitzvot that were given to observe are with the aim to bring us to the intention to be able to aim our hearts to do anything in order to bestow. This is called Kedusha. From this extends that the Klipa and the Sitra Achra, which want to receive for their own sake, are in this opposite from Kedusha. For this reason, we call the will to receive for one's own sake by a new name, the evil inclination. Since by wanting to satisfy its own wish and enjoy for itself, it prevents us from observing Torah and mitzvot. Because by observing Torah and mitzvot, even if lo lishma, we come to lishma. Hence, even in lo lishma, the evil inclination prevents us from observing Torah and mitzvot. Since from lo lishma, we come to lishma. For this reason, for the mere doubt that it may come, it already disrupts. Lishma means that a person does everything for the sake of the Creator and not for his own sake. It follows that when a person engages in Torah and mitzvot, the evil inclination loses so much that it disappears from the world. In other words, by observing Torah and mitzvot, the person kills it. It is as our sages said, Tanya Rabbi Yossi from the Galilee says, the righteous, the good inclination, judges them. As it was said, my heart is slain within me. Rashi interprets, my heart is slain with me is the evil inclination. It is as though dead within me, meaning that he can force it. Accordingly, everything that the evil inclination does, which obstructs him from engaging in Torah and mitzvot, it does justly. Since the person wants to put it to death through the Torah and mitzvot. For this reason, the will to receive is called evil, since it harms a person. For the evil inclination prevents a person from achieving dvikut, adhesion, with the Creator, which is called life. As it is written, and you who cling unto the Lord your God are alive, every single one of you, this day. And when a person realizes that the will to receive for himself prevents him from reaching the world of the living and wants the person to remain in the world of darkness and death, is there anything worse in the world than obstructing him from reaching life? At that time, a person names the will to receive for himself the name evil inclination. This means that when a person feels the troubles it causes him, he names it evil. Whereas before a person comes to feel that the will to receive for himself prevents him from reaching the delight and pleasure, the person does not refer to the will to receive for himself by the name evil inclination. From this we see that the will to receive for oneself is right when it prevents a person from observing Torah and mitzvot, since the will to receive for oneself sees that the person wants to put it to death, as in the words of our sages about the verse, my heart is slain within me. That in the righteous who observe Torah and mitzvot, the evil inclination becomes as though dead. It is as our sages said, I have created the evil inclination, I have created the Torah as a spice. It follows that this will to receive, which is imprinted in the creatures, is the root of all the sins. It does not let the creatures observe the commandments of the Creator, because it sees that they want to remove it from the world. It is as it is written in the essay preface to the Wisdom of Kabbalah. Rabbi Hananiah ben Akashia says, the Creator wanted to cleanse Israel, Hence, he gave them plentiful Torah and mitzvot. He explains there that by observing Torah and mitzvot, they are rewarded with cleansing from the will to receive for themselves. Hence, we understand very well why the will to receive is what prevents us from observing Torah and mitzvot. And it is the root and the cause for all the sins. It therefore follows that those who want to work on the path of bestowal, the war against the evil inclination is more difficult for them, since these people really want to kill and put to death the will to receive for themselves. That is, they want to walk in the path of Torah, which is opposite from the view of landlords. The view of landlords is that they are not doing anything unless it is for their own good. Hence, when they engage in Torah and mitzvot, their whole intention is to thereby gain reward for their own sake. That is, they will stay in their will to receive, and only before they began to engage in Torah and mitzvot, they wanted reward in this world, while engaging only in corporeal matters. For one who works for the landlord, wants the landlord to pay his salary. But now that they have begun to work and observe Torah and mitzvot, that the Creator has commanded us, they want the Creator to pay their reward. It follows that it is all by way of self-gain. But afterward, when they begin to observe Torah and mitzvot, it is with the intention to receive reward for their will to receive the next world. Thus, the evil inclination, called the will to receive, did not resist them so much, since the will to receive objected to them only over doubt. Meaning, since from lo lishma, we come to lishma. That is, he began to engage in Torah and mitzvot in order to reward himself, but by this, he could later come to lishma, meaning to work only for the sake of the Creator and not for his own sake. Conversely, one who wants from the beginning to work in order to receive reward, meaning does not want to work for his own sake, the evil inclination certainly resists him every step of the way. The evil inclination wants to keep he who comes to kill you, kill him first. Hence, their work is much harder than those who work in order to receive reward. Since from the beginning, they say that they want to observe Torah and mitzvot as a remedy by which to kill the evil inclination. As was said, and my heart is slain within me. Now we can understand the question we asked according to what our sages said. Man's inclination overcomes him every day, and were it not for the help of the Creator, he would not overcome it. Thus, why is it man's fault if he did not receive the required help from the Creator? And accordingly, why should one ask forgiveness from the Creator? The answer is simple. It is because he did not ask for help. Our sages said, he who comes to purify is aided. It follows, accordingly, that the help comes from the Creator after he asks for help. Thus, man's sin is that he did not ask the Creator for help. Had he asked for help, he would certainly get help from the Creator. But if a person says that he asked for help and the Creator did not help him, to this comes the answer that a person should believe that the Creator hears the prayers as it is written, for you hear the prayer of every mouth. If he truly believed, his prayer would be complete, and the Creator hears a complete prayer. Meaning when a person yearns with all his heart, that the Creator will help him. However, if his prayer is not constantly on his lips, it means that he does not have the real faith that the Creator can help him and that the Creator hears everyone who asks him, and that small and great are equal before him, meaning that he answers everyone. It follows that the prayer is incomplete. This is why he should ask forgiveness for his sins, for not asking for the required help from the Creator. And although there are other answers in the literal, in the work, when a person wants to walk on the path of bestowal and not by way of reception, the sin is mainly that a person did not ask the Creator to help him overcome the evil. For this, he asks forgiveness, and from here on, he will ask. Good morning, Rav. Good morning, friends. It's strange. For you hear the prayers of every mouth, and if you were to believe truly, this prayer would be complete, and the Creator hears complete prayers, meaning a person yearns with all his heart for the Creator to help him. Now, what does it mean to believe truly? After all, he doesn't feel anything. How is he supposed to really feel that the Creator will help him? What is it to come to really believe? What is that concept?
That he has nothing to do besides accepting the words of the sages, that the Creator orchestrated everything and left man with only one thing. You can't do it, turn to me and ask.
The
problem is, let's put it this way, we learned a lot about prayers this week. How does a person know that his prayers are answered? He does a lot of work, he feels that they're actually not answered. How could we understand that they are answered?
That's true, that we don't immediately feel the response from the Creator. On the one hand, but on the other hand, we have to have faith in the sages and what they said, that the Creator hears the prayer of every mouth, and then when he hears, he replies. Except it's possible that we won't feel the answering of the prayer, but it comes and it enters the person, and all those responses from the Creator accumulate in the person until a person begins to feel, to identify them. And with them, he begins to answer the Creator.
Thank you.
Yes, Dudi.
What's considered the help of the Creator?
The help of the Creator is the answering of the prayer. If you have no deficiency, you won't feel the response.
And what is the answer of the prayer? How can you identify that he's answering?
That you'll have the right deficiency. What are you asking of him?
But he hears every mouth.
Yeah, but what is every mouth? Every mouth that asks for help. How can one ask for help? What for? What he cannot do on his own, which is that he'll have the good inclination, the force of bestowal. If he asks that from the Creator, then the Creator has to listen. Not immediately, but after a few times, as he establishes himself and learns how to turn to the Creator, then he begins to identify that he has some contact with the Creator, some inner contact. That he turns and there is who to turn to.
Why do we need to ask forgiveness from the Creator? Why is it not enough to ask for help, to pray, but I need to say to him, sorry, it won't happen to me again, help me, like forgive me?
Because the Creator prepared everything perfectly. And if we don't know how to use correctly what He prepared, then for that, we as if need to ask for forgiveness. Because by that we correct our deafness, our flaw, that we don't understand what He wants from us. That we are far from Him, that we are thinking in the wrong direction than what we should, and so forth.
I'm sorry, what am I to blame for something? I'm going backwards. What is forgiveness altogether when I'm asking from the Creator?
Forgiveness is that I feel that I cannot reach the request that is required of me. That's it. The request that is demanded of me, that I will ask, that I'll prepare myself, that I'll want to receive the right assistance, the correct assistance. So I have to direct myself towards that assistance. And here the question is whether I am not giving the Creator my requests in the right way. I'm not.
Good
morning, Rav.
If person says that I did mistake, that's avodah zara.
It's foreign, alien work.
I know that Creator gave me that desire to implement that action. And you answered to Itzik that forgiveness is that I couldn't come to right request.
Mm-hmm.
But forces in order to come to right request is also coming from the Creator. So am I to blame in the state?
לא, הכוחות אנחנו מקבלים בהתאם לעבודה שלנו.
No, we receive strength, forces, in accordance with our work. If we connect in the ten, if we try together with the ten to aim ourselves towards the right goal, then we know exactly what to ask for. Because all these conditions of what I need to achieve with whom, in what way do I achieve it with them, do I reach the goal, what's the connection between the goal and the Creator. So if I aim myself correctly, then I know what to ask, what to ask for. So even though we don't know yet exactly what to ask for, we don't have the correct deficiency, that too is what we ask forgiveness for.
I feel that reception is more tastier. I think that in reception I will take more taste, but I know that if I request, Creator will connect that desire to bestowal. But in my mind, reception is more attracting me. So I intentionally I do not make this request.
Subconsciously, I understand. So what do you do? You begin to work against the disturbances. This is what is called the evil inclination. That it shows itself overpowering the person when the person is already on the way towards truth. And then the desire that awakens in him pushes him backwards. And then a person asks accordingly, more and more and more. Ultimately, he needs to reach a state where the evil inclination and the good inclination will work within him in parallel. Two. And then, on the
Скажите, пожалуйста, где граница между приложил усилия и нашел и просьбой о помощи?
Where is the boundary between I have exerted and I found and the place where you ask for the help of the Creator?
Матай же они
when I invest strength, I put in the effort and I ask for strength, I reach a state where I ultimately understand that it all depends on the Creator. And alone, on my own strength, I certainly cannot advance even one step forward. Then, accordingly, my request becomes deeper.
French 2.
French 2.
Bonsoir, bonsoir les amis. Une question d'un ami.
Hello, Rav. Hello, friends. A question from a friend. To the extent in which we advance, the evil inclination grows. How can we come to the feeling of death of the evil inclination?
We reach the system of the evil inclination through the system of the good inclination. Because the upper's will is not to make us fail, but on the contrary. So to the extent that we can overcome, we are given something to overcome. And that's what how we have to see things. That the
Да, дорогой Рав, а вот каждый этап должен включать в себя просьбу о прощении, как
Every stage in the spiritual work needs to include request and forgiveness from the Creator, and on the other hand, also request for Him to give us the force of bestowal. Is it every moment that is built on these two things, forgiveness and request?
Yes, every step forward has to be comprised of both the good inclination and the bad inclination.
How to ask forgiveness correctly? It's not just some kind of formal appeal. What do I need to feel here, and how do we do this?
אדם לא יכול לבד להגיע לזה. הוא צריך קודם להתקשר עם החברים. הוא צריך להרגיש.
A person cannot attain that on his own. He has to first connect to the friends. He has to feel that he's in a group, as it's called, and then he can build his correct request, appeal from the Creator for the ten. And that's how he gradually corrects and corrects himself.
Feeling that you, let's say, lose the contact and that you need a constant prayer. So it's a sort of a, it feels like a searching process. If I don't keep on praying, it will not be heard. So where do we get the power from to constantly want to pray to the Creator?
That is what you get from the friends, of course. From the friends. Because that's where a person can very quickly, you could even say immediately, feel what he lacks. The deficiency that he receives from lack of connection with the friends, that is the correct deficiency. And if he will always run towards realizing it, it'll be sufficient for him to correct everything. Turkey 2.
Good morning, dear Rav. Good morning, dear friend. Kötü eylemin üstesinden gelmemiz için içimizdeki eksikliği nasıl uyandırırız?
How can I evoke the deficiency in us so that we will be able to overcome the evil inclination?
החיסרון שאני צריך לעורר כדי להתגבר על היצר רע זה חיסרון.
The deficiency that I need to awaken in order to overcome the evil inclination is the deficiency in or for connection with the friends, because it is certain that in any state we are in, the correct connection between us will give us the solution. It will give us the solution, and therefore, it's the only thing we need.
Thank you very much, Rav. We're told that we have to recognize the evil inclination, and we're in a process. that we're in slowly. And until we actually feel it and understand that we need its help, why is it so hard to ask from him? We wish that we would ask all day long. Why is it so hard, nevertheless? Because it's not under your control, and your evil inclination receives only what's under your control. Yes. Can you put the evil inclination to death? Because he's talking about putting it to death. Is it even possible? We need to want to. The whole world clean. The right connection, is that the center of the ten of the group, or through the center of the group we turn to the Creator?
It's about coming to the complete prayer. Rabash writes, a person should believe that the Creator hears the prayers. And if he truly believes, his prayer would be complete. What is it that we need to believe for the prayer to be complete?
That the Creator deliberately awakens all kinds of questions and states within us so that we will receive a feeling of the negative, a feeling of deficiency, and we'll be able to ask for correction. And that's the only way we...
Hello, Rav. Sometimes I see the evil inclination, but I can't turn to the Creator for him to correct it. I turn to the Creator only when I feel that the evil inclination is hurting me. So my question is, why is it not enough to be aware of this evil inclination for us to turn to him?
But then with what will I turn to the Creator if I don't feel that he hurts me, hinders me, that it truly hates me? I have to reach a state where I hate it.
Thank you, Rav. There are many times feelings of humiliation in the prayer, or like a thousand times you raised it and you didn't get an answer. So what's your prayer worth it? Even the very appeal is kind of like lowering you. And I feel like it doesn't enable me to truly appeal to him properly. What do we do with that feeling of humiliation?
Continue. Keep going. Because this stems from the evil inclination in us.
Can we somehow circumvent it, deal with it? Is this humiliation necessary?
It's necessary. And if you don't really want to feel it, that means you have more to work on.
Good morning, Rav. It's written that there are people that to begin with wants to work in order to bestow, and that their work is very difficult. And there's those who to begin with want to receive reward and later believe that somehow from lo lishma they'll come to lishma. Do we have to go through this process, meaning to move from a state in which we're demanding reward to a state in which, to begin with, we're not demanding reward? Or how does that work?
We have to yearn for only one thing, to understand that each time we receive correct directions from the Creator towards in order to bestow. Correct our actions, and that is they're called mitzvot.
From Asker 1, the asking for forgiveness is a state of request from a person?
The request for forgiveness comes to us from a combination of the good inclination and the bad inclination. Because if we didn't have the evil inclination, we'd have nothing to ask for. There would be no deficiency or reason to turn to the Creator.
From Mask 2, what does it mean that the Creator hears?
The Creator hears means that our prayers are included in His degree. The Creator is also not something that is undefined. It is Bore, come and see. Which means it's a specific degree, a specific state. And that...
Another central thing he defines in the article, which is kind of like a solution, which is to engage in Torah and mitzvot.
Yes.
What is in this means that helps change our nature?
For the attainment of the goal, we have nothing besides Torah and mitzvot. Because in doing the actions called in order to bestow, it's called mitzvot, we understand how weak and incapable and not built for it we are. And then we turn for help. And by that, we attain the light that reforms, called Torah.
Meaning they push us to the request.
Yes.
When does the group engage in Torah mitzvot?
When the friends wish to connect between them and clarify, scrutinize what is their common deficiency.
Last question. How is it felt in a person that will to receive in him feels that it's about to be killed? What does it feel?
That he discovers that his will to receive is standing between him and the Creator. That if he won't and nullify it, he'll never reach the purpose of creation, he'll never be able to connect to the Creator, feel some equivalence.
We are reading the Freedom article from Baal HaSulam. You can find it in the food system as well as in the writings of Baal HaSulam. We're continuing with adding pleasure and pain. The freedom, pleasure, and pain. However, when we examine the acts of an individual, we will find them compulsory. He is compelled to do them and has no freedom of choice. In a sense, he is like a stew cooking on a stove. It has no choice but cook. Since Providence has harnessed life with two chains, which are pleasure and pain. The living creatures have no freedom of choice to choose pain or reject pleasure. And man's advantage over animals is that man can aim at a remote goal, meaning agree to a certain amount of current pain out of choice of future benefit or pleasure to be attained after some time. But in fact, there is no more than a seemingly commercial calculation here. where the future benefit or pleasure seems preferable and advantageous to the agony they are suffering from the pain, which they have agreed to assume presently. And there's only a matter of deduction here, where they deduct the pain and suffering from the anticipated pleasure, and there remains some surplus.
וכן קורה לפעמים שמתענים, היות שלא ימצאו בתענוג שהשיגו, שיהווה את העודף המקווה. לעומת
היסורים, thus only the pleasure is extended. And so it sometimes happens that we are tormented because the pleasure we received is not the surplus we had hoped for compared to the agony we suffered. Hence we are in deficit, just as our merchants. And when all is said and done, there is no difference here between man and animal. And if this is the case, there is no free choice whatsoever, but a pulling force drawing them toward any passing pleasure and rejecting them from painful circumstances. And providence leads them to every place it chooses by means of these two forces without asking their opinion in the matter.
מבלי שאלת פיהם כלל. ולא עוד, אלא
קביעת
האופי של התענוג והתועלת.
Even determining the type of pleasure and benefit are entirely out of one's own free choice.
אלא
but they follow the will of others, as they want, and not he.
למשל,
for example, I sit, I dress, I speak, and I eat. I do all these not because I want to sit that way, or talk that way, or dress that way, or eat that way, but because others want me to sit, dress, talk, and eat that way. It all follows the desire and fancy of society and not my own free will. Furthermore, in most cases I do these against my will, for I would be more comfortable behaving simply, without any burden, but I am chained with iron shackles in all my movements to the fancies and manners of others, which make up the society. So tell me, where is my freedom of will? On the other hand, if we assume that the will has no freedom, and we are all like machines operating and creating through external forces, which force them to act this way, it means that we are all incarcerated in the prison of providence, which, using these two chains, pleasure and pain, pushes and pulls us to its will, to where it sees fit. It turns out that there is no such thing as selfishness in the world, since no one here is free or stands in his own right. I am not the owner of the act, and I am not the doer, because I want to do. Rather, it is because I am worked upon against my will and without my awareness. Thus, reward and punishment become extinct. And it is quite odd, not only for the religious, who believe in his providence, and can rely on Him and trust that He aims only for the best in this conduct. It is even stranger for those who believe in nature, since, according to the above said, we are all incarcerated by the chains of blind nature with no awareness or accountability. And we, the chosen species, with reason and knowledge, have become a toy in the hands of the blind nature, which leads us astray. So how do we relate properly to pleasure and pain?
Try to aim them as they pass over us and direct us. They point us in the direction of the purpose of creation.
That I feel pleasure or pain, what am I supposed to do?
When you feel pleasure or pain, what should you do? You should try to understand where everything is coming from, the pleasure or the pain, and how you can use them to aim yourself.
Spoke about free choice. What is it? What free choice does the 10 have?
I don't know yet. Hold on. I don't know it. We didn't finish the article. So I don't know what he's going to say next. It's possible that we have to understand where is our free choice. Does it even exist if there is none else besides him? And only one force operating through all of reality. How do I come to my own free choice? How do I use it? How can I manage the whole world with my free choice? I don't know yet.
What's the approach of the wisdom of Kabbalah to the daily decisions of a person in life of a student? A person who studies the wisdom of Kabbalah, what does Kabbalah recommend for that person in his daily decision making?
To try to combine his life with the correction.
So that means what? I need to make sure I'm in the lessons, in the 10 meetings, all those things.
That's clear.
What's unclear? What else?
I don't know what you're asking about.
I'm asking, he says, there's this situation in life where they pull me to pleasure and I'm pushed away from pain. And he says, whatever you do, that's a calculation, a commercial calculation. So my question is, does the person need to make that calculation? Does he need to play that game? Because he's already inside that calculation. Or does he need to say, that's not my place of choice, and I'm going to focus on another area, which is what the wisdom of Kabbalah recommends to me. Or do I play this game because I have seemingly free choice, like every person in this world?
However you choose.
So he's got to play that game just like everyone else who's unconscious that he has no choice, and play that game, then make that commercial calculation.
If he chooses this way.
So he could maybe not play that game.
You see it.
No.
you see that this is what's happening to us.
Right, so I'm asking, what's this plus one? What's the advice of the wisdom of Kabbalah to a student of Kabbalah to do in his daily decision-making?
The way he decides.
I don't understand that. Well, what does it mean, however he decides?
What do you want out of a person?
What do I want out of a person? He needs to develop to realize his purpose in life.
That's what you want from him?
Yeah, that's what he was born for. That's his goal in life.
Okay, so what is the question then?
On the way to realizing that goal, he has stages of development, right?
Mm-hmm.
So in those stages of development, let's say the first ones, he's still in that game of that commercial calculation.
Correct.
So he has no choice but to play that game as if he has choice, he's certain about that, just like every single person in this world.
And?
So what's the recommendation of the wisdom of Kabbalah to that person in that state? To play that commercial calculation game?
As much as he can bend it towards the truth. The truth.
What does that mean?
As much as he can relate to his life truthfully.
So he needs to stop as if he has some choice, and then he has to think, so what am I going to take out of this decision, out of this calculation?
This is something he has to do in each and every moment.
So he's got to say at every moment, wait, I have no choice.
Why no choice?
Because Baal HaSulam says that you have no choice, that you're...
So it depends on you. What kind of forces have been arranged in you?
Okay, so how do we work correctly? What does that mean?
By being incorporated in the group, you can change the balance of forces that are operating in you.
And that's connected to the daily decision-making of a person?
Yes. That's a daily thing. What, you decide once for the whole life?
What, for example, out of the change of the weight of the forces that act in him, change in his life?
Each time you can change the balance of powers.
To what?
Toward the good, toward bestowal, a connection with the ten, and so on and so forth.
And then how does that influence his daily decision-making in life? What, for instance?
Accordingly, each moment in life, he changes his behavior. Also toward society, toward nature, all of that, everyone.
And that balance, he's the one who determines that.
Yes.
That's what he needs to focus on, and only that. Because it appears to him that he himself can make that change, as if he limits himself in all kinds of seemingly disturbing desires, and he chooses those desires that progress him to the goal.
Ken?
Yes, that's how he should operate.
So how can he do that correctly, as if not egoistically?
You don't know that. You're in the middle of the road.
So can you say a few more words about that, about how not to get confused?
No. Why? I don't want to steal from you.
That's part of the process?
Yes.
So what should we focus on to summarize that? That a person has daily decisions to make in his life which always confuse him. It seems to him that they confuse him. Maybe they don't confuse him. Maybe he just gets confused because he is on that comparison.
You want me to make decisions for you, for me to develop in your place? What What do you want?
Recommendation, advice of the wisdom of Kabbalah. What does it say to a person who wants to develop towards a goal and he has 1,001 decisions to make in life on a daily basis, which seemingly aren't connected to the goal, but they're connected. So how am I supposed to choose correctly?
Only out of his connection with the correct environment. And that's it. What else can he rely on?
And how will that determine that correct connection? What is that correct connection?
When he connects himself to the correct environment, he follows it, he is incorporated into it.
And he needs to see that his connection to the correct environment influences his daily decision making?
Ultimately, yes.
Woman Moscow 17.
Woman Moscow 17. What's the pros of free choice in relation to a generation? In relation to an absence of choice.
Да, дорогой Раф. А как вот чем мне от жука отличаться?
How am I different to a cockroach?
If I want to rise above the cockroach or some other primitive organism, I must accept the quality of bestowal, because in the quality of reception there's a difference between all the created beings, and accordingly they are ranked on this scale. This scale, ruler. But according to the quality of bestowal, I don't belong to any creature in this world. And then I begin to weigh myself differently, evaluate myself differently.
But a bug
or an insect, it runs according to all kinds of awakenings. It runs here or there, and that's how a person runs around as well. What changes in him when this quality of bestowal reveals to him in this schema?
When a person acquires the quality of bestowal, it begins to run around not like the cockroach, but according to foreign desires that are in his environment, and he wants to bestow to everyone. More and more and more depends on his degree of development. And accordingly, we evaluate him, how closely he resembles the Creator, since the Creator also is thinking of our development. Hence, we evaluate a person according to his development, according to his reflected light, you can say. It doesn't matter how you say it. According to his equivalence to the Creator.
We depict ourselves that we're some insect who's drawn into one or another direction. If I have the quality of bestowal, so I stop myself and act according to the desire of the collective, of the ten?
Yes. If I'm an insect, a cockroach, I work according to my inner impulses. If I'm a human, Adam, then I want to resemble the Creator, and I work according to the society, the environment. Is that clear? Good.
değil Rav. Kişi mi doğru çevreye gelir, yoksa yaratan mı kişiyi doğru çevreye getirir? Burada kişinin özgü seçimi tam olarak nedir?
Does a person come to the right environment, or if the creator comes to the right environment, what is the choice of a person in this matter? There's no difference. It's always the creator.
The Moscow 4.
Доброе утро. Хотел спросить по поводу одобрения общества. В желании получать человек вынужден.
In relation to social public opinion. In the will to receive, the person is necessitated to act in a way where he acts in a certain way, that he dresses a certain way, etc. But in the will to bestow, what does a person rely on?
Only his then. Only that group that is aimed at the purpose of creation.
What is the difference between the public opinion before that?
The calculation is different.
He's not asking for reward from human society,
but instead he's asking for it from his group that's aimed at the goal, and the reward is the creator that's revealed within them. Next.
Belarus.
Рав, в чем, кроме выбора окружения, у нас, как учеников Небаруха, есть свобода?
Other than choosing the environment, what else do we have a choice in as students of Bnei Baruch?
In nothing.
In relation to what you said with Niv, what is a choice?
Choice is always between the group, when the Creator shattered the vessel of Adam HaRishon and arranged for us, for each one of us, a individual group, and through our participation, our adhesion in that tiny group, the ten as we call it, we can advance ourselves toward the correct goal, and in this way influence our spiritual advancement. That is the choice. That is the choice.
A person thinks that he has choice between two options in his life, either to do one thing or another, maybe to either to come to a 10 meeting or to go to the gym. But from what I heard you say to Niv, the choice is between inner forces, that a person needs to organize his inner forces
as a preparation for choice. Yes.
So how do we determine in our internality to strengthen the right direction or the right side?
How do you determine it in your internality to strengthen, to reinforce the correct side? Choice. Well, by investing in it more importance. You talk about it, you hear what the environment is saying about it. Ultimately, it's up to the environment. I need to choose an environment in whom the goal, the actions, connections, everything they're doing, that should be aimed more and more toward the purpose of life.
And these choices accumulate in a person as if they strengthen increasingly that you could say the good inclination in a person, or each day it's anew?
This could be a daily examination, and the person and the process of development can also be daily.
So in short, if I want to take a tip of how to correct deliberately choose. I have no approach to my heart, but I just choose the correct environment, and then my inner decisions become correct.
True, that's what's written. A person is not in charge of his heart, is not the master of his heart, but through the environment, he
אני רוצה קצת לעשות בירור על הקטע מה שהוא דיבר פה חוק חוק
I want to scrutinize this the law of causality that's the title here of the section and then he says that there is a general connection among all the elements of reality before us which abides by the law of causality which means that I naturally want a good life. That's the law of causality. Meaning, what's the reason for me wanting a good life, and why do I suddenly want to be in bestowal? What's the reason?
That has to do with the hierarchy of values in you.
Naturally, we all want a good life. A nice looking woman, a nice house.
I didn't mean that.
How could I want to change that? I don't want a house, I want an ugly woman, I want to go in a house and not a car. Where does this thing change in me?
As a result of the environment.
I'm in an environment that people have things, not in an environment that's either lacking. So where is that environment?
A person who changes his environment changes his life.
Just let me understand. If I'm in a place with wealthy people, they'll say, go over to this place where there's no... And then what? I just suddenly change my environment and something else happens?
Of course something else happens.
So I'm saying, why should I leave my nice house and go to a place which is, you know, worse?
If in a rural or a place or, in the projects, let's say, you receive proper compensation, then you're pure.
You once said that Rabash told you, leave Rehovot and come live next to me. And you conceded and you went to from a penthouse to a bike with three rooms. So what brought you to that in which you left everything? Just all of a sudden you left everything. How could you suddenly come to a place where you just left everything and that's it?
That's from above.
Comes from above. You just left everything easily.
I was waiting to get rid of everything.
Why? What brought you to that point?
The Creator did it.
That's how you felt?
Yes.
You're great. To leave everything, it's a great thing.
No, I didn't give up anything because it wasn't great for me.
So explain to me what that point is.
Because the moment I wanted to move to Bnei Brak from Rehovot, from a duplex penthouse, duplex to a three-bedroom apartment, so on and so forth, then that's it. I made my choice.
And that's the law of causality. That you conceded everything and you left to go to a place of three rooms.
Yes, because I saw that through that I advanced toward the goal.
And we just received that all of a sudden, without any preparations, we just get that
like that.
I'm
not sure if I should ask it, but our choices in the tent, let's say my choice, if there is such a thing, does it influence my friends in the tent?
Certainly.
Okay. I want to see how we can strengthen our choice as a tent. There are things I speak of us. There are things in the society that are clear that advance us toward the goal. Everything has to do with the friends gathering, the morning lesson. It's clear. The choice might be tough, but it's clear what is the correct choice. But we see on the path over the years, see that the choice I had to make in order to reach a lesson or gathering, it was clear to me that this is the most important thing, more than anything. Suddenly it's not so clear.
They give you a place of choice.
Yes.
So
it turns out that in our tents, how can I influence a friend's choice? Suddenly it seems to him that he needs to make a bit more money and it becomes more important than the lesson. Or he needs to travel a bit more and it becomes more important than the social gathering. There are many examples for that. Do they have anything to do with a friend's choice?
To go to him and tell him that you very much appreciate him in that he chose to be with the society and not to go out to some vacation, for instance. Not that I think that that's what we need to do, because we also need vacations. But that's it, to strengthen him.
Because it's an example, vacation and making a living, those are bad examples, but what I see in the end is that the friend's choices can influence a ten, can weaken a ten.
So what?
I don't see how we can advance with it, what to do. I see that I can grow weaker, additional friends can grow weaker as a result of other friends' choices, and you can't really get into it.
Sir, everything is according to how a person understands the path. I have nothing to say.
Another small thing?
In the same direction.
A little different. About the attitude toward the friends, that there has to be an equal attitude toward each friend. Is my attitude toward a friend that, whom I see that invests everything and is present everywhere, should my attitude be equal to such a friend and to a friend who is a little less there or invests less? How can my attitude be equal?
You cannot. Whoever exerts more, you need to relate to him in a more respected way. You respect his investment. But what?
Because I hear often that there has to be an equal attitude towards each one in the ten.
That's after all the calculations. But really, you relate to each and every one according to how you see their investment, however much they invest.
Доброе утро, Раф. Подскажите, как мы можем выбирать каждую секунду? Как обязать себя?
How to make a choice every second, how to force ourselves.
Зе каколь талуй бе сбива.
Им адам не... It all depends on the environment. If a person incorporates and subjugates to the environment, then the environment influences him and changes him. And it doesn't matter how it changes him. He shouldn't criticize that. Because after he enters the environment, he needs to really give himself to the environment and receive it, accept it as a whole thing.
Good morning, Rav. In this item, he asks how the eye appears to us, but it seems it does not answer. How this feeling of I appear to us?
האנוכיות, איך תחושת האנוכיות מתגלה לנו?
בכמה שאנחנו
in as much as we
אנחנו יותר
submit ourselves to the environment, we increasingly can feel our self.
לפי מידת ההכנעה שלנו לסביבה.
According
Merci, Rav. Et question d'un ami. Comment peut-on déterminer
Thank you, Rav. Question from a friend.
Pour un choix idéal dans le but de notre vie.
How can you determine the inner forces in order to reach the ideal choice and internally advance?
You think that you're managing the process. And that's what I'm impressed to hear more and more in your questions. The Creator is the manager. The upper force, who is connected to us and who's connected to the final goal, and he is in the whole process that each and every one of us needs to receive on the path, and that all of us at the end of it reach connection as one man with one heart. And my house will be a house of prayer for all nations. And that's what we need to see.